We're very pleased to have Julie Daniluk joining us today. Julie has a long and impressive list of accomplishments in the field of nutrition. As well as being a highly successful registered holistic nutritionist and member of the CANNP, Julie is also host of The Healthy Gourmet on the Oprah Winfrey Network. She's a health expert on The Marilyn Dennis Show and has appeared on numerous TV and radio shows, including that of Dr. Oz. Most recently, Julie has published her own book designed to help guide people in the direction of healing. It's entitled Meals That Heal Inflammation. Today, we have the pleasure of asking Julie to share some of the secrets of her success. So welcome, Julie.
Hello.
It's great to have you
here. I am so happy to be with you guys. This is really fun to finally connect.
Yay.
Live.
Yay. Maybe to start off, we could just ask you what the basis of your passion for nutrition is, where it came from
for
you.
The passion really came from my mother and my grandmother. It's wonderful that my grandmother followed Paul Bragg, which I think we all studied in school. Mm-hmm. As her sisters started to age and have terrible health problems, we noticed that my grandmother continued to have incredible, lively tenacity and a real beautiful long locks of hair and an ability to come back from infections faster. She fasted once a week as Paul Bragg suggested.
Okay.
and followed a very heavy juicing and nutrition routine, which she passed down to my mother. And then when I was diagnosed with, it was called hyperactivity at the time, but now it's called attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. I was a whirling dervish. I never slept a night. I drove my parents clinically insane. Well, no. I drove my parents a little around the bend from time to time. I wouldn't say clinically insane, as they are still very happy and vibrant with us. But they were really having a tough time with me. And my mother, well, thank goodness, being an avid reader, stumbled upon the work of Dr. Feingold, mm-hmm. who is such an incredible researcher, who really hit home the importance of avoiding all artificial chemicals for children to recover from hyperactivity. He mm-hmm. proposed that it was a brain allergy. Mm-hmm. So my mother took me off all the food suggested. It meant I essentially had to embrace an organic diet mm-hmm. because there was no artificial colors or flavors or sugars. And the biggest piece of that was the fact that my mother took it one step further, because she noticed any time I had cane sugar, I would start to cry and become really upset.
Really?
So she also chose to take me off cane sugar.
Wow.
And my grades went from D's to A's within a month, and I slept for the very first time.
Really?
Wow.
And I became happy and calm and mm-hmm. just a really buoyant kid. And that truly changed me to my core, and I started to read every single package. So mm-hmm. I was understanding MSG on a food label mm-hmm. before the average kid reads Jack and Jill. So by 7, I was already keenly interested, and I was very lucky to be basically on a biweekly basis in a Horn of Plenty health food store in Dundas, Ontario. Mm-hmm. You know, and this mm-hmm. is like 25 years ago, before health food stores were popular.
Well, great for your mother for,
good
for making that connection.
Yeah, absolutely. So unlike a lot of nutritionists who say, wow, I wish I could make up for dietary damage, I'm so lucky I had that.
Yeah, really. Yeah. So when you take your background and now you have a successful business working with clients, how do you approach that? What is your approach and philosophy when bringing in a new client into your business?
My approach is tremendous compassion mm-hmm. to remember how lousy it feels to be ill.
Yeah.
Because I had a second healing crisis that had nothing to do with dietary choices as much as, well, it was in a way. I ate a pad thai that poisoned me in Thailand.
Oh,
and I was temporarily paralyzed and came home completely unable to digest food. And so being that ill really gave me tremendous compassion. It's really cool. There's I wish I can remember the name of the Buddhist nun who said that suffering is really the true root of compassion. That if you've ever felt mm-hmm. suffering, you can really transform that into tremendous compassionate for others. And that is the gift that suffering brings us. So mm-hmm. I think so many nutritionists in the field really get that we've all had these healing crises that have pushed us to want to eat clean and green and mm-hmm. vibrant foods to nourish us and bring us back to health. So I see it as a lucky a lucky thing in the end, even though at the time it's a horrible thing to go through.
It's interesting. That's why I like to ask that question, is because you're right, so many of us are drawn to it for very personal reasons.
Yeah.
And I think that we want to share the information because we know how good people can feel.
Yeah.
And so many people, I think, are walking around feeling terrible and crumbly and low energy, and they assume it's a natural part of the human condition when we know it doesn't have to be.
It's the real you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So if you could change one thing about the diets that you see of your clients on a regular basis, what would it be if you had one huge piece of advice for your clients?
Yeah, if I could wave a magic wand, I would just eliminate all refined sugar and flour in the world and go back to a time before Napoleon. It wasn't until Napoleon that refined sugar was so freely available. Mm-hmm. It used to be only for the elite rich, and then after Napoleon it became very popular to the point where I think at the turn of the century we started to have 20% of our diet from refined flour and sugar.
Wow.
And you think, whoa, that's such a huge transition that I wish we could just eliminate that, because we now know that the term diabetes and obesity is caused by those two things. And I think white flour and sugar are the primary causes of inflammation, which is the whole basis of my book.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to move people away from refined food.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned your book. Might be a good time now to talk about meals that heal inflammation.
Yeah.
Beth and I really enjoyed your book. And
thank you.
Wonderful recipes. I've been eating some delicious things out of there. And and I love the whole philosophy. So maybe you could just talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So Meals That Heal Inflammation is sort of a tour guide through the anti-inflammatory plan. What I like to remove from people's minds is that it's the Dan Lok diet, that it's the way to eat. My philosophy is that there's 7 billion diets for 7 billion people, that there's not one way to eat, and that we have to let go of dogma, because in the dogma comes a food prison that keeps people locked into a diet is difficult, a diet is hard to maintain, I'm on the wagon, and then I fall off the wagon.
Right.
Where I'm trying to institute, why don't we just embrace a live it? Yes, there'll be weddings. Yes, there'll be Christmas. But we get up the next day and we make the best choices we can.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the idea of it being loose and a lot of freedom within our choices, so that people feel inspired instead of feeling that they're preached at.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to be just motivated into action.
Mm-hmm. That's very refreshing, because I think it's true. People sort of approach lifestyle changes like this with their tail between their legs, thinking it's going to be deprivation, it's going to be discomfort, it's going to be no fun, and I'm not going to enjoy it. But your philosophy, it comes across in the book that it is about fresh, and let's celebrate fresh, let's celebrate alive, let's celebrate all of the great foods and understand how they can make our bodies
healthier. It's the deadly diet word.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, the
totally.
Diet, we need a new word.
That's why I try to use the anti-inflammatory plan, even though anti-inflammatory diet has been sort of built in by Dr. Oz and Dr. Andrew Weir, and all of the big MDs are holding on to it. So it's hard to let go of, but I really talk about the anti-inflammatory chart, the anti-inflammatory plan, trying to move people away from that four-letter word.
What's your favorite secret ingredient that people don't know about that they should know about on a daily basis?
Oh, yeah. It's so cool, because everyone knows like the top five veggies for fighting inflammation, like kale. But I think if I was to pull one out that very few people know of, it's Job's Tears, which is it actually looks like barley, but it's from Asia. And it is there's some beautiful data on it showing that it's a powerful anti-inflammatory, specifically for arthritis. So how cool that you actually have a grain that's benefiting arthritis, because most of the time we're encouraging people to stay away from grain.
Mm.
So it's completely gluten-free, of course. And in Chinese medicine, it would be really helpful for cold, damp conditions where there's such a tie between poor digestion and arthritis, that it seems to be very helpful for that. And there's also good data that it's helpful for cancer prevention and treatment. So this is a delicious grain. There's a recipe for it in Meals That Heal Inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are wondering where in the world to find
it. Yes, that was my next question.
Yeah, well, it is available online, but know that if you do want it shipped, thebigcarrot.ca will mail shipments. to anywhere in Canada. So,
and do you make it like you would quinoa or rice? Or
It's the same way as barley. So it's normally boiled and drained.
Right.
And then it's wonderful in soups and stews as well. I use a lot in the slow cooker because then it can really break down nicely mm-hmm. and it's really soft.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. We learned something new, didn't we?
There you go. I love that question.
Yeah. I'm going to switch tacks a little bit now to business. You've developed your nutrition practice into a thriving business, and many of our members are starting out in their own nutrition businesses, and mm-hmm. we're just wondering what advice you could give to them to help them be successful.
Yes.
Yeah.
My biggest advice, I just want people to have support when they graduate and exactly. Well, first off, run, don't walk to your application form to become part of this wonderful organization that these two ladies are tirelessly working on your behalf. And then also, and please buddy up with someone. I made the grave mistake of hanging my shingle and hiring out my own space. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing worse than opening your practice mm-hmm. and saying, build it and they will come. Mm-hmm. And then sitting there waiting for the clients to appear and they never walk through your door. Mm-hmm. And so I end up paying people to see me. If I did the calculations on my rent, which at the time was $500 a month, and it didn't seem like much. I'm like, oh, I can cover that off and 5-6 clients. Well, there was months that I was literally paying people to see me. So I encourage people to hire themselves out 1 or 2 days a week within a practice that's established. Work with a chiropractor, work with a naturopathic doctor who believes in your work and can refer out to you. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you can really have great success. And then build your client base by either working as a sales rep, a demo person, or a salesperson within a health food store so that you can actually fuel people into your practice. Because it's only in contact with the public that people are going to create mm-hmm. a buzz. Mm-hmm. So there's your physical buzz, and then you absolutely have to start an online presence. Mm-hmm. I am so sad that it took me so long to join Facebook and Twitter. I remember a friend of mine who's an established nutritionist and health guru in her own right, Jay Steele, who has two great books out called Get It Right and Right From Around Here. She's an avid blogger. And she just twisted my arm to the point where she opened my Twitter account on my behalf and emailed me my password and said, you are now on Twitter. You are so silly to miss this window of opportunity. You have to do social media. And am I ever sad that I didn't do it sooner? Because I'm now clawing my way. Mm-hmm. I mean, to think I've had two national TV shows where I'm hosting, one TV show with Marilyn Dennis where I'm a regular contributor. I write for all these magazines, and I only have 3,000 followers. Now, I know that people will go, Julie, that's a hell of a lot of people. But not when you look at other incredible people out there. People like Joy McCarthy have it made in the shade. Joy has like 8,000 followers. You really need that, and I didn't know. I didn't fuel social media fast enough, so I want everyone to go out, start a blog, and blog consistently. The other major mistake is I didn't blog consistently until my book came out. Mm-hmm. Before that, I would blog once a week, and I would just pay lip service when I had something written anyway, and I'd be like, I might as well throw this up. Now it's like, okay, what can I blog about? Because to have a blog regularly means people come visit you daily, and then they get the word out to their friends instead of just the occasional pickup. People are more likely to subscribe if you're a regular blogger.
It's interesting that you bring that up because our last podcast was with a woman from Lyra Communications.
Oh, great.
And that's what she does is she gets people up on social media. So we have a podcast all about
Beautiful.
It. And she highly recommends LinkedIn as a business starter.
And can you believe I don't do LinkedIn properly? So you're just telling me now another tool I need.
Sorry.
Because I pay lip service to LinkedIn. I have stuff on LinkedIn. But I don't exercise LinkedIn.
Right. And she says it's the way to go for business people.
Yeah, for business people. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. Where Twitter is incredible for quick, cool information. Mm-hmm. I try to get tons of studies out there because mm-hmm. that builds your brand. And then Facebook is beautiful for advertising workshops and building community. And that's where I've had the greatest success is I love Facebook. I think mm-hmm.
She also loves
it's
Facebook.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. Incredible. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's great. I know I mean, we're all sort of getting on board. We've developed a Facebook page for CNNP that has a members only area where there's a little conversation going on and people can input. And
cool.
You know, and at first when we started, we felt the same way that, you know, oh great,
another thing
we
do.
Have to do. But yeah. Now we can really see the benefit of it.
Yeah.
And
it's interesting that things are going that way. Like recently in the States, I had the opportunity to launch my book there, and the greatest success has come from one online article from CNN.com. One article, because I think right now 1,800 people have recommended it on Facebook in the United States. So
wow.
That's how the power of online media is overtaking the power of actual television media. People are not watching television. I don't know the last time you watched TV, but I just don't have time. Well, we have the time for 5 minutes on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's becoming the media of choice.
What did you have for breakfast?
It's a great one. I absolutely love eating dinner for breakfast.
Oh,
do
you?
It's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I often break my fast with a piece of fruit and take some supplements. And then I will do my yoga practice, because you need to do that on a relatively empty stomach. And then we'll launch into a nice hearty meal of a kale with sardines, which sounds like a weird choice, but apart from the fish breath, it's so important for me because when I'm writing, I have to have my brain, and having high levels of EPA, DHA allows me the writing schedule. Right now, writing for Chatelaine, Alive, and Vitality Magazine, plus I just got asked to write a second book with Random House. I have to put a book proposal together, so I'm writing constantly, and that requires perfect blood sugar balance.
Excellent.
So dinner for breakfast.
Excellent.
Every day. Yeah.
That's really an interesting concept.
It is a great concept. And can you give us any hints as to the topic of your next book? Is it, again, dealing with inflammation?
It will have an absolute inflammation component, sure.
Uh-huh.
I'm just trying to explore concepts right now.
Okay.
I really want to explain the why, because I think that Mills & Hill Inflammation was 400 pages when it was published, and I wanted it to be 800 pages. So I think this is the book that will really help explain some of the deeper science about, an example. You know, why does magnesium help prevent and deal with chronic pain?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't go into that in the book. There wasn't enough room.
Mm-hmm.
But we could get into acidosis, the pH balance, and talk about how when we have a lack of minerals in our tissues, we have a higher pain receptor. We have higher pain reception.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also could look at how magnesium relieves muscle cramping, and muscle cramping with that comes pain. So it'd be wonderful to get deeper into the science of why.
Mm-hmm.
So I think why meals heal is certainly top of line.
Yeah,
but don't quote me on that because I don't know if I'm allowed to give that away.
No.
I know you're quoting me on that because we're talking with the peeps here.
Well,
don't stick me to that. But I don't mind sharing that. It's okay. I just
that sounds like it would be just such a great dovetail to our research study.
Yeah,
that we're working on.
Definitely.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can get enough data, and then you know, so much of what you're doing would.
Yeah.
Would back that up.
Great.
Would be great.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And it is true. It's the understanding the why that provides the motivation for people to make changes. Because
yes.
If you just give them a list of foods, it's meaningless.
It is.
It's about understanding, okay,
yes.
I'm eating this and this is what it's doing for me.
I think that's why I loved Healthy Gourmet.
We
didn't do enough of it, but whenever I was given the opportunity, I would say, you're eating omega-3s because your joints are damaged and I'm trying to reduce the inflammation in your knees.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
It would hit home why the salmon, as part of our main dish, was the key focus.
Mm-hmm.
People have to understand why they do something.
Don't you think they're a lot more compliant if they understand
absolutely.
The why?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love what we do. Is being the bridge. Don't you find naturopaths don't have time? They give a prescription. This is your cardiac prescription. And then a person with diabetes and heart disease comes to see us, mm-hmm. and they're so overwhelmed and they're ruled by their cravings. They don't know why they would change. And then we're there with our hour to walk them through the why. And and I love that part of our job.
Yeah. Well, the part of our, the main focus of our job should be educating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, because we're not there to prescribe and diagnose. We're
exactly.
there to fill this incredibly important role mm-hmm. of how do you turn a prescription that a naturopath has provided into a lifestyle.
Exactly.
We're that beautiful bridge,
yeah.
which I think is an honor.
Mm-hmm. And being nutritionists, we're always upgrading our skills,
yes.
always learning. And I wanted to ask you, what are your sources of information? Who do you find inspirational? Who do you go to continue to learn from?
Yeah, that's a great question. Gosh, I source my information from so many places. I'm trying to think of, PubMed. I think people should live on PubMed
mm-hmm.
Because it's so fun. I do really like Real Age, which is a great resource that Dr. Oz is involved with.
Mm-hmm.
I love ShareCare, which is Dr. Oz's charitable website where you ask a question and dozens of different practitioners answer it, which is really cool and leads you down interesting paths of understanding. I'm actually one of the experts on ShareCare, and you can apply to be an expert on ShareCare.
Uh-huh.
I think one of my favorite human sources of data is coming from Bryce Wild. I consider him a really good friend. He's so beautiful inside and out. He has such an amazing way of understanding and explaining the why. And it's cool to note that he's not just a homeopathic doctor. He's also a nutritionist
mm-hmm.
and very passionate. And his show, Wild on Health, was awesome. But his website is incredible. Thousands of pages. He's prolific and really highly recommend checking out Wild on Health as a website. Yeah, for
sure.
Other areas. Oh, I really want to suggest that everyone check out TED Talks on a regular basis.
Aren't they great?
They're so great. This is an incredible series that you can purchase. It's the teaching company, and if you Google the Great Courses, it should come up, but they should also have it's greatcourses.com. And they have the most amazing video series. They sell series of videos, and this one, The Human Body, How We Fail, How We Heal, was the best look at the immune system and the inflammatory process done with a medical doctor that I've ever seen available. So that's Professor Anthony Goodman. Fascinating.
So, Julie, why did you write Meals That Heal Inflammation? What was your inspiration?
My initial inspiration came from the fact that I was deathly ill in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
I ate this poisonous pad thai. The reason why is because they only had refrigeration on the island 12 hours a day. So the lights would go out, and I think it's so beautiful. All of a sudden, all the generators were gone, and you could see the stars, and I'd be like, this is a magical island. I love this. But little did I know that it was freezing and thawing and freezing and thawing all of the meat on the island. So when I ate a little bit of chicken that was stuck within a pad thai, I had a violent reaction within 6 hours of every symptom under the sun. And then I ignored it, thinking, I'm a nutritionist, I can handle this. So I took Nex Vomica, and I took...
I'm thinking homeopath.
Totally. And I took my activated charcoal and my probiotics, and I thought, I'll be fine by the morning, right? Well, by the morning, I couldn't move. I was actually totally immobilized in bed.
You must have been scared to death.
Oh, yeah, because there was no roads. I was in an island, extremely isolated. There was no hospital. There wasn't even a way to drive to a nurse's station. We had to take an ATV vehicle. Thank goodness I wasn't alone, or I would have died in my bungalow. I had a friend with me who picked me up because I had lost all bodily function, and I'll leave it there. But, like, I could not do anything. So when he saw how sick I was, he picked me up and carried me on an ATV vehicle to the nurse's station. And they hammered me with antibiotics. And I was laying there saying, I don't want candida. I'm so scared I'm going to have candida now for the rest of my life because it's intravenous antibiotic. Only a nutritionist would get that joke. I was like, what am I going to do? And when I got home, I couldn't digest anything. Food went right through me, and I had such severe inflammatory bowel disease.
Were you still inflamed?
No. It was very temporary, and it came from no electrolytes left. I'd vomited and had such diarrhea for such a long time that without any electrolytes, I was just completely unable to move.
Oh, my goodness.
So once they hydrated me, I could move again. So when I got home, I had a massive journey back to wellness, and it wouldn't go away. There seems like there was some horrific thing going on where a cyclical IBD situation, inflammatory bowel disease. So my husband was the one who shook me up. He was my boyfriend at the time. And was just so scared when I was in one of my really bad episodes that I would be like this for the rest of my life. And said, what would it take to heal? What would you do to heal properly? And I was like, anything, anything. And that from that day forward, I vowed I would only put the things that healed me in my mouth. And slowly clawed my way out by documenting every single thing I ate. And anything that made me feel worse, I would stop. And anything that made me feel better, I would eat more of. And I lived literally on pablum for the first while. Like I had to puree everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then went into complete remission and never looked back. And that really inspired me. I had to write it down and make it a book that was worth sharing. And then I was fearful of my mother and my grandmother's state of, even though they're so healthy, they still have a nagging issue with arthritis. And I don't want that to be my fate. And it is tied to bowel health. We now know that bowel health causes arthritis, or poor bowel health causes arthritis. So I wanted to share that. And then I dug on that and I was, hold on a second, all inflammatory illnesses are connected. Heart disease, arthritis, bursitis, cystitis, diverticulitis, doesn't matter what you have, it's all connected. So when I made the light bulb moment of all inflammation is healed by food, then I wanted to write about the topic in general and did years of research. It took 5 years to research the book and 2 years to have it published by a publisher. So it was 7 years in the making. And I think that's what sets it apart from a lot of books on the market is it just the, we edited it 6 times. If anyone has the first edition, they'll remember how ridiculous. Sorry for the spelling mistakes, if anyone does it. Very bad. And then I had a wonderful editor who's also a wonderful nutritionist, Daniela Rambaldini, came on to vet the book. So we took every study, and if it was old, it got pitched, and a new one was inserted. And that's what makes the book, I think, really, really good. And why I think it became a bestseller is purely its thoroughness.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's extremely thorough. Yeah. It's wonderful. Yeah.
Enough about that. But love fun.
The other thing, it's not overly technical.
Yes.
Which I think makes it very appealing.
Oh.
So many of us are reading technical stuff all the time.
Mm.
And, you know, then you have to sort of translate it so you can talk to a client. Whereas your book, you can take it and just...
I wanted it to be a resource that you could plop in front of a client and say, here's the glycemic index, because it drove me crazy that they were in all these different places.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the anti-inflammatory chart. Here's a bean cooking guide. All the references I use in my practice are in that book.
Mm-hmm.
So I no longer have to give them a massive handout of resources when they first come for their first workup.
Mm-hmm. So when somebody comes to you and you know off the bat that they have massive inflammation.
Yeah.
What's the first thing you do with them?
Well, the first thing I do is communicate that we're going to put things in until they're ready emotionally to give things up. Because telling them you're going to give up sugar, white flour, white sugar, corn, all these things today, they leave you. What's happened to me is they leave your office and go to the nearest sugar shack and dispense about 400 grams of jelly beans into their purse. They just rebel. First things first, we're going to try to really increase your fruits and vegetables, and then we're going to take out when you're ready. So when you're ready and you're prepared to do an elimination, tell me when that is. For some people, it's 2 weeks. Some people, it's a month. But they have to be emotionally prepped and ready, because the worst thing is to send them off that they have to do it today, because that's when the tears come that they have nothing to eat, and then I get the phone call, I'm starving.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take them shopping first and say, okay, you've got 15 choices to replace what you're commonly eating. Then they feel empowered and have all the resources to make the change.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it'll last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the big missing in a lot of people's practice. And what I did wrong when I graduated is I was the no girl. You can't have this. You can't have that. Mm-hmm. And now I'm the yes girl. yes, you can have kale, and yes, you can have blueberries, and let me teach you how to cook them well, you know, so yeah. that there's a positive spin on their choices.
Yeah.
And it's really tough with teenagers. And that's when I'm like, hey, I've been where you are. Mm-hmm. I have been on and off the wagon so many times your head would spin, where I was having, you know, a whole pint of ice cream one minute and then trying to be on the ADHD diet the next. Because, mm-hmm. of course, I was an angel when I was a kid, but the second I hit 12, we all rebel, right?
Yeah.
So it's
hormone hell.
Yeah, exactly. We all try to curtail that rebellion in a little bit and address the emotional eating piece.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get someone on board to address why they eat foods that destroy them,
mm-hmm.
then you've got them.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone has that little switch inside them that says, I shouldn't eat this, you know, half a loaf of baguette, but
mm-hmm.
oh, it's too good, I'm going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get to that, then we really make a breakthrough to true health.
Makes all kinds of sense. And eventually, I mean, there is that time factor, too, when people's palates have to change. When they're sort of, you know, when they start to go, hey, you know what, I kind of miss, I didn't have a salad today, and it's the first time that's happened to them in 10 years, you
mm-hmm.
know, that
Absolutely.
They start to wake up, their senses wake up to
sure.
how great that is.
Yeah, I think there's a big element of palate training
yeah.
that people have to go through.
Well, there's about 28 days in it that we re-circuit that reptilian brain
mm-hmm.
that says, I want
mm-hmm.
the basics, right? I want
mm-hmm.
sugar. I want the salt. I want those very high notes.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have to be trained to enjoy all the deep notes, the bitter, the astringency
mm-hmm.
in real food.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have never had before. Where in Europe, they get dandelion on their plate. They get rapini, they get radicchio. Those are extremely bitter flavors that train the palate to like them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The only exposure we have to bitter is chocolate and coffee, which we douse with massive amounts of sugar.
Yeah.
So we've never had that note. And once people get, oh, wow, I can pair arugula with a raspberry vinaigrette and it can taste amazing, then they start to broaden their palate out a bit.
Yeah,
yeah, it just takes time. And being just compassionate with mm-hmm. their history and saying like, wow, really?
Yeah.
You've never tasted
yeah.
that a salad that had a bitter food in it? Well,
mm-hmm.
wait till you really fall for it. You're going to love it. Yeah, that's
yeah.
my big thing. It's just that positive messaging.
And so in terms of battling the sugar demon, you know how addictive sugar is. And they're saying
yeah.
now with these studies coming out, it's more addictive than drugs and
yeah.
all of these things. How do you handle that? How do you tackle that with a...
Yeah, well, first I use tricks.
Okay.
What kind of tricks?
Yeah, we want to know.
Yeah, well, I mean...
rabbit?
My trick is fiber. My trick is protein. You know, I do 3 food interference with people. Where I'm like, okay, can you eat 3 foods that contain fiber or protein? And then you're allowed to have the treat. And by the time you're having that treat, you won't fall as far. You're not going to eat the container of ice cream because you're so full. Because we just need 20 minutes
mm-hmm.
where that 3 food interference will fill them up
mm-hmm.
and balance their blood sugar so they don't fall quite as far. And yeah, okay, maybe some people are having, it's a purely emotional addiction, and then we do need to get them counseling.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is genuine blood sugar cravings and it's just the roller coaster we're coping with, I love using, you know, flaxseed, chia seed, polyglucoplex, otherwise known as PGX, those sort of really fast, easy, fibrous things that will fill up the stomach like a sponge so that people really stop craving sweets.
That's great how you
yeah.
split it out between the sort of the biochemical effect that's taking place with the sugar and the emotional side of it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think that we
talk about.
I don't think too many of us have a client that we're not dealing with that on some level.
Every human being is an emotional eater because that's
yeah.
how we were first soothed.
Mm-hmm.
We cried, we were soothed
yeah.
with food,
yeah.
with breast milk. And why are we addicted to ice cream? Well, no surprise, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is that I think that people eat the way their parents ate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We are nurtured
that
yeah. way.
Yeah. And that's the only way they know how
sure.
mm-hmm. to eat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to say, so how's that going for your mom and dad?
Yeah.
Is are you liking how they're aging?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what I needed. I needed that. You know, I have
mm-hmm.
a grandmother who died of bowel cancer, and I have, you know, a, a great-grandfather died of diabetes. Like, do I want to go down that road? So I have such a hyper-awareness of wanting to live pain-free into my 90s. So I coach people around that, but I'm not using heavy tactics, but like, yeah, I know that we eat just like our parents. So I want to know a bit more about how your parents are aging. And when you get them to talk about it, do you imagine yourself there? Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So
it's a great, it is.
Yeah. So can you imagine for a moment what life would be like if you take the healthy road and choose differently? Let's talk about what you might be like, and then let's take the road that's most traveled, like your parents, and what do you think your body might do? And once they touch down to that, then I think if they get that real feeling of, whoa, I really want to change. And if you can just capture them in that moment of inspiration of, okay, what do I do now? I'm ready to change. Then we can feed them all the technical info at that point when their ears are wide open.
Great. That's, I think, one of the most frustrating things for a nutritionist is that they expect people to change even though they might not be ready to change.
Yeah.
And it's got to be baby steps. It's all part of a process, right? It's the peeling the onion again. Let's take it back one notch.
Totally.
I just want to say thank you very much, Julie. It's been such a pleasure having this little time to sit and chat with you and to pick your brain and to learn about all the exciting things that you're doing and keep
good
us posted.
With the new book.
Yes.
Well, thank you, guys. I have a real thank you to you two because I know in the early days your work was completely unpaid and there's been thousands of life hours and volunteer put into trying to hold us together as a posse, as a unit, a cohesive unit, and I thank you so much for the work that you're doing. It's
well,
extremely valuable, and I'm a lifetime member.
Oh,
get after me if my fees fall a little behind, but I'm always there for you guys for sure. And
much appreciated.
And to people out there, I just want people to know that I love this process of sharing, and this has been awesome because I normally get interviewed by people who don't understand nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
So to have to talk to other nutritionists is such a golden opportunity, and talk deeper is such a beautiful opportunity. So people can get a hold of me, Julie Danilek on Twitter, Julie Danilek on Facebook, and juliedanilek.com. It's so easy to get a hold of me, and I certainly hope we can keep the conversation going.
Absolutely. Thank you, Julie.
Thanks, Julie.